Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Kathy Twitty and I, we're going to talk about sacred contracts that we agree to on a soul level prior to birth. And we want to welcome our wonderful co-host, Kathy. Kathy, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks.
So thanks for joining us today. And Kathy, we're just going to hit the ground running because last time we kind of run out of time. So share with our listening friends your thoughts about sacred contracts, and I'm going to kind of go back and forth with some questions.
Well, all right. Well, we kind of got over into sacred contracts last week, and it kind of sparked something between you and I because when we met, it was a divine appointment, which is very similar to a sacred contract. The appointment ignited the contract that our two souls made, and we were instant friends. And a sacred contract is the relation. It's in relationship, and it can exist on a one-on-one level. It can exist in a family, a soul group, your intermediate family, your extended family, and go out into your connection to the people in your neighborhood, your city, your state, your country, and even globally and universally that what we have with all souls in existence. So it kind of has a center, and it moves right on out to the infinite. And so in these contracts, there are certain karmic connections that we have with people that make that contract more serious, more intense, more depth to it. And we know the difference when in our hearts when we come across somebody that we've truly planned a life with. And it starts out in the spirit plane where we have free will, and our guides meet with us and the people that are going to incarnate with us, and we work out our life path, our soul print, and the path that we want to follow for the enlightenment of our soul. And these we come to serve them, and they come to serve us to move us down that path of enlightenment.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. How do we know if it's a sacred contract versus somebody that we just bumped into? What's that, like you were saying, our hearts know, but is there a certain kind of inner knowing, energy, connection, like, you know, how people say when you meet one of your soulmates, you just know because it's so easy and smooth? You know, say more about what would the kind of give us a little description about the connection. I know you and I had almost like a kismet, and we could almost finish each other's sentences. And yet you were very bold, at, you know, in pointing out things to me that not many people got that first, you know, encounter that we got together. And, you know, not everybody listened to each other the same way, but it was almost like when you shared about some of the gifts that you were seeing, I got chilled, and I knew that, you know, that was part of that. Something that you saw, not everybody saw, and yet it resonated with me after you said it. So kind of share a little bit, you know, give an example of someone else in your life, you know, besides us that you kind of had an experience with or you knew, you know, with a sacred contract or you felt, you know, between that or just somebody that you chit-chatted.
Well, we talked about this the other night, and we talked about like when our children were born, when my children were born, I loved them from the second they made their first appearance. I loved them before they came, but boy, once I saw them, my heart was gone, and my grandchildren. And so it's not you know that soul. You've spent many lifetimes with that soul, and a lot of karmic energy is built up with that soul, good and bad. And so it's a feeling. It's a profound connection. It's an energetic connection, one that's going to have more energy and more life and more depth to it than one that somebody that you just might bump into on the street and talk to them for a minute. And they might have a divine appointment with you to just kind of keep you from stepping out into the road and getting crunched by a car or something. That's a smaller contract. A divine appointment can be with just anybody that's somewhere in when you're planning your life plan before you came into the earth plane, that they would intercede to help get you back on track. It was something that was going to be short-lived. The energy was going to be spent in a short period of time. But a contract is a lot longer. It's with our parents. It's with brothers and sisters. It's with a soul sister like you and I, somebody that I know you. I knew you before we came. I know you, or you can't hide it from me. And I will, and I'm not going to allow you not to be that in my presence. I will not bear witness to you being anything but exactly who you are. If that makes any sense to you or not. But we know in our soul, we can feel it. It resonates. It resonates throughout our being that this person is special, that this is not like all the rest, or these persons, you know, are not like all the rest. Some people have a tremendous attraction to, we'll use Haiti, for example. There's people that have a attraction and a connection to the people of Haiti, and they are flocking down there to help because they belong to that soul group. They are moved, and they will dig through that rubble with their bare hands if they have to, in order to keep that contract with that group of people. It's no accident that that happened. It's no accident that the people that are there are there helping. They are intended to be there, and it was meant for the soul group growth as the Haiti people, or the people of the world that it's reached out and touched. It moves us to a better place within ourselves, a loving place and a giving place, and helps us to be enlightened as a global family, so that the veil can continue to thin between the worlds, and so that more spiritual gifts are given. And so one-on-one or in a family group, it's the same thing. We have stuff happen all the time in our lives that move us. But if we really didn't care about that person or those people, it wouldn't really affect us, would it? So we came here to stir up those karmic emotions so that we can grow, so that we can be enlightened, so that someday we are the guide on the other side, that we don't come back and reincarnate, that we are enlightened to a point that we can come if we choose to for a special mission, that mostly we'll serve from the other side of the veil. So that's what all these contracts add up to, so that we can serve one another and be enlightened in the process as individual souls.
Are some of the contracts that we have with people, could they be easier ones than others?
Well, yeah, I mean, so it was always easy. We'd call it the spirit world. I mean, we wouldn't come here. We came here because of the duality of this world, and we get to experience and feel all things. And we think that the bad people are bad, but really they've shown up for that in our lives. And if it was always easy, we'd never learn anything, ever. And if we were all alike, we wouldn't need each other. So it takes the duality. God created the laws of the universe, and one of them was duality. And that was so that we could have life lessons, so that we could seek and we could grow.
So Bob is telling us that we have a little bit of an echo.
Oh. It's probably because we're sitting here looking at each other.
Well, you know, one of the things that we were talking about, so if anybody, hopefully this echo is better. One of the things that, you know, Kathy and I were talking about is, do you think that Haiti, like, you know, say, for instance, the people that are representing, could that be a planetary contract when they just felt this intense, you know, desire or this compassionate desire to jump there and run it? Could it be part of their planetary contract? Or what does a planetary contract, a sacred contract look like?
Well, we all agreed to come onto the earth plane or we wouldn't be here. And so in whatever world, other worlds are out there where our souls incarnate. So, yes, it's a planetary contract. It's an overall, there's a contract of all the souls that God created to find their way back from the separation that we think that we feel from our Creator. So that's a burden on our soul. We want to lift that burden and to be in a place of only love. And so when we decided that as creations that we wanted to incarnate in the physical realm away from the spirit, then God said, okay, I love you, and I'm not going to not let you do this, but what I am going to do is set up the path that you can always come home to me. And the closest thing that I can put that relate that to is my own father. He had, why don't I go in there so you can watch that, is with my own father that he had a song out. If anybody doesn't know, my father was Conway Twitty, and he had out a song called That's My Job, and in this, one of my favorite songs of Dad's and one of his favorite songs, and it's about a contract between a father and a child, and the child wants to go out on their own and is afraid that they'll get lost and won't have the money to come home and come back to the parent. And the daddy says, that's my job, that's what I do, everything I do is because of you, to keep you safe with me. That's my job, you see. And that's the way I look at the way that God looks at us and says, okay, go out there and find yourself. And you're going to find at the core of yourself that we are one, me and you. But that's okay. I know you're going to go out there, and I know you're going to make mistakes, and I know you're going to feel like you're on your own, but you're going to have each other, and you're going to serve one another, and you're all going to find your way back to me in time, and you've got all the time in eternity to do this. And so he set us loose, and here we are, trying to find our way home, trying to learn and grow, and trying to love and be loved. And so the answer is yes. Sometimes the worst of us that show up in our lives can be the people that actually love us the most, that they help bring about great growth in our soul's journey to enlightenment. Does that make sense to you, Valerie?
It does, and I was just thinking about, you know, my relationship with my parents. It was pretty rocky, and yet at the same time, as I look down the pathway of being with them, if I had been really close as a tribal member, you know, or if I had been really plugged into my family tree, I may not be such the truth seeker that I am right now.
Right.
And, you know, there were days I didn't think I'd ever get out of the jungle with them.
But you did. Also, you spent many lifetimes with these parents before, and you chose your roles before you came. And it wasn't just about your growth, Valerie. It was theirs too. But it helps to me. It helps me to understand myself better, to know that I chose the things that I experience, good and bad, and that it helps me to stand up. And after I get over the shock of it sometime and look at it with some perspective from a distance and say, what was that all about? And I learned to turn and bless people that I might cuss, you know, and to step away from a situation and give it a little objectivity of, you know, wait a minute, I chose this, so there's got to be a lesson here for me. And that magic solution is, once you know, to accept your responsibility in that decision and at times to release it from your life or to just absorb it into your life, one way or the other. It doesn't define you. It's just one thing. We all have things in our lives that we wish hadn't happened, but truthfully, we choose them because there are no accidents in this world, just divine intervention. There's just divine energy in life. And the other comes from ego. We pull that energy into our life by saying, well, that person, you know, my mother, she was horrible. You know, I don't know what I ever did to deserve her. Well, you chose her. And so when you're able to back off and look at it that way, or you chose that situation to say, oh, my God, look what that did for me. And then you bless it. Then you learn to bless something that you thought was horrible. And it helped to mold you. And through purification of fire, a lot of it, the bad, it helps to show you who you are, to remind you what you're made of, and to lead you down the path so that you can walk the path of enlightenment, so that you can walk the path of intention that you came here to walk. And sometimes we'll step so far off that path that something really shocking has to happen to put us back on that path. That's what we came to do when we come with a friend. It's like I said, Valerie, you know, I will not let you be who you are authentically in my presence. I will not bear witness, Valerie, to you being somebody else or you not being your full, living your life with your full potential. You won't do that in front of me. You will hear me if I see you step off path, and I would expect you to do the same for me. That takes a lot of courage and a lot of love to make sure that to say, you know, you came to be that, be it. That is who you are, be it. So many of us hide in behind fears and insecurities that we only show up for ourselves a little bit, much less for each other. And so it's important that we step out there into the light, into the truth, and be who we came to be, and support those that we came to support. And it's not a small thing, actually. It's one of the top things in what's important to the evolution of the soul. Because if we're not there for each other, until we all get to the same place of enlightenment, we cannot all go be where God is. And that's the highest realm. And that's the goal. That's the home we seek, is to be in the bosom of our Creator. And to do that, we have to purify and enlighten our spirit so that we can be there with God at all times. He is always with us, but we are not always with Him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, or with divine, you know, like there's no his or her so much, and you know, in that respect. But in that image of light, you know, Kathy, one of the things that's interesting is, and I was sharing this even today with you, was about our siblings, and you know, we were talking about us having possibly the sacred contracts with our parents, but that not necessarily, you know, we might have a more deeper sacred or more important or I'm not sure what the word, but we might have one sacred contract with our parents, and they might have a sacred contract with our parents, you know, but that doesn't mean that us two planned it as well. Like, okay, you'll be my brother and sister. More is of I'll join this family and be a sibling to this family, but my contract is
with the mother.
My mother or father. Yeah.
So you want or another brother or sister. Yeah, well, you know, just to kind of back up, you know, my credentials are that I have a bachelor's degree in metaphysical science, and so I've studied this my whole life, and then also I have a knowing and a channeling of information that clicks within me that I know is truth, but there are siblings, there are families, there are friends, there are people that are going to come in as your soul group, into your soul group, that are really on the outside of that group, that they're not really connected to you. And so you don't feel a connectedness to them. And that's okay, because we didn't come here. We're not all alike, or we wouldn't need each other. We would all just, you know, it would be boring to one another, but they come in through for someone else, and so you don't feel a strong connection to them, and you also have a responsibility to them. There is some sort of a contract between the two of you, or you wouldn't have shown up at all in each other's existence. But maybe it's the way you both love that person that you is your parent or your father or your other brother or sister that they might have come to share a life with. But, you know, also sometimes it's, look, I need somebody to show up for me and really show me a bad side of myself that I need to purify. And so if you see that in them, which you do not like, it exists within you. And that is where you turn that magnifying glass back on yourself and say, ooh, even if it's just a tiny little part of you, that needs to be gone before you can be enlightened. And what is enlightened is light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Well, what does that mean? That means that I am enlightened. I am pure white. I am pure. I am pure of I am only love. I am only things that vibrate from love and goodness and compassion and non-judgmental, anything, everything that is good. So that is the goal. So maybe somebody comes in that, you know, we think, oh, I just don't like them. Well, there's that part of them in you, or you wouldn't see it. And maybe it's a small part of you, but it's a part that you have to do the work to work out, to work through. Does that, and then you bless them for showing you that side of yourself. Does that make sense? Oh, I lost Valerie completely. Okay. This isn't good. So anyway, I know we some of the books that if you'd like to read on this subject that I've loved through time is Journey to Souls, anything by Newton, Michael Newton, I believe is his name, and Life Between Lives. Oh, what a wonderful book that is. And it's all about past life progression. It takes its stories of this psychologist patients where he took them back through hypnosis and their past lives came through. And he took them to, and these are about their journeys through the life between the lives that they've lived and what they've learned and how they go through the Akashic records of time. And we get to study our lives and we get to connect the dots in our lifetimes and we get to choose. That is our free will, is the freedom to choose who we share our lives with. And so many people do not show up for themselves by being all they came here to be. They take a lesser road. They take a lower level road and kind of barely exist. But that's okay too, because if we choose not to show up for the contracts that we came here to fulfill, there's only love and understanding that maybe they just didn't have it in them, or they were just scared, or they just, chickened out. You're going to come back and learn the lessons you have to learn. But you might miss the opportunity to do it at the time of intention. But we have to love and understand each other and not to hold in a negative way them responsible for not showing up. I think it's easier if you just face it and you do good and bad, the things that you came here to do. But there are souls that just say, it's just overwhelming. I'm not going to do all that this time. So there's always a next time. It's a page in a book to drop it, and you go on. Valerie, are you there?
I'm here, honey. That was
all
fun.
Right. There you are.
Didn't know how long my battery was going to go. So let me. I've really worked on. Sometimes I just seem like I've struggled, and I'm really getting good at this. But I struggle letting go of someone, even when things start changing between us, like the relationship changes. And I know. At times, that as we move and grow and expand, that some people will come in for a little bit of time and some people will leave. But, one of the biggest things I think that even in the soul contract, the sacred contracts is, they don't go for life. Sometimes they can be just, a few, like it could be all lifelong and it could be just, a short period of time. So you want to kind of touch upon that, because sometimes, you love somebody and it can be quite sad, or it can be, painful when you're leaving, but at the same time, it could be more painful if you stay, if that makes any sense. Do you want to kind of share that?
Yes, the reason that it gets painful is because it gets toxic to the soul. All relationships have so much energy. Either it's somebody you pass on the street, you just smile at them and it makes their day, and they suddenly remember, that they're loved. There's people that love them on this earth that they don't even have to know, and it makes them feel like they've been seen and that they're not alone. And then there's that a lot of one-on-one that I know we're going to talk next week about the love relationships, our mates and our partners in life, because we waited to get close enough to Valentine's Day so we could draw from that energy that surrounds the planet. But when a relationship is over, no matter if it's where it's at, if you do not let it go, then it becomes toxic. It serves in a negative way. And we know within ourselves when it's over. We know within ourselves when it's right and when it's wrong. Our God talks to us through our emotions and through our chakras, and we know. And so we can choose to stay, but we're living with dead energy. And what happens when it's dead, it starts sucking the life. It's taking up the place where live energy should be. It's not allowing people in that are supposed to come. You are being anti-productive to your soul. You're really treasoning your contract with the other people that are supposed to come into your life. And you're keeping that person or those persons from going on down their path. And so it's not a healthy place. And you will not reap growth from it. You will regress. And And so it's important that you know, when you know what you know, that you release that person or those persons, and they release you with love and with gratitude for time spent and for service rendered, if you want to put it that way, for the gifts that they brought, lessons that they brought into your life. And you wish them well, and you set them free, or they set you free from that bond, that contract has been fulfilled. And you know that there, it's not like you'll never see them again. You exist in the spirit world, in a spirit group. Then there's somebody that's always going to love you, that's always going to be there, but you didn't come to spend that whole time with them. And so if we cling to something that is gone, then it's very toxic to the growth of our soul. Are you there?
That makes a lot of sense. I was just thinking about, you know, just the states that I traveled, and probably Tennessee has been the biggest state I've lived in the longest. But I get restless, you know, and so there's times that when I've traveled, I've met other people, and sometimes they're just a blink in my life, and then sometimes, you know, it continues on. And it kind of helps me, I think about, you know, that, even as close as we got, because sometimes, you know, like when I went through personal growth workshops, in those spaces with those people, we shared stuff that not everybody knows. And it was very, you know, confidential and sacred information that we you know, were together with. And so, you know, then we you know, would leave that space, and we may never see each other again. So are there times where, you know, what you were talking about, getting to know one another, are those just moments that you know, it's like when you reveal that kind of intimacy with somebody, are those just, you know, people that come in your life and they're just for a time? It's not like necessarily right. That they're going to be the best friend, even though you gave them all that information. Would
right.
there be times like that so that you could so it helps you, almost like you grow at an accelerated rate in a way when you're, you know, going through.
Right.
But there's no accident, like you said.
There's no accidents, and like attracts like. So you're attracted to that in them, which is walking on the same path as you, or trying, or along the same distance down their path as you are. And so they recognize the light in you, and you recognize the light in them. And there's a meeting of minds, a soul connection there, to help to remind you who you are, to help build those spiritual coping skills within yourself, to release the gifts in your soul that you came to share. And they're a support group. That's a support group. You will see them again in the spirit, because we all go there. But there's cluster groups of souls that were all created at the same time. So there's a likeness within us, because we're cut from the same cloth. A friend of mine gave me a little angel. Actually, I'm looking at it hanging on the wall. She's one of my best buddies, and it says, "I don't know what souls are made of, but I know that you and I are come from that same cloth." And we, it was an instant friendship, and it's been a 15-year friendship of what a wonderful girlfriend that she is. And her husband are down their spiritual path a long way, because she was just getting started when I met her down that path, and we had such great growth together as friends. But I agree with her that we are cut from the same cloth. We come from the same soul group, and that there was no accident that we met, and there will be no accident that in the spirit that we would hug each other and say thank you for helping me to find my way when I was on the earth plane. And so there are those that just come for a minute, and there are those that come for a lifetime. And we know the difference. And, well, I mean, we left our little furry friends out. You know, our pets are in our soul groups too, and they come to serve us as well as us to serve them. But mainly they serve us by loving us and showing us what unconditional love is like all the time, and what we should love each other like. And that is just, you know, it doesn't matter with your puppies or your kitty cats. If you leave for 5 minutes, they're as excited to see you as if you were gone for 3 days. And so, and they love you all the time, and they just want to hug you and kiss you and snuggle with you. And and be near you. And so they are great teachers of how we should love one another. And that's with an openness that of understanding and compassion and non-judgmental, just love, nothing but love for you, baby, is the way you know your pets look at you. And so that's how we should love one another, even when somebody comes on a what we think is a bad note into our life. If they came to be that, there must be something that came there for a reason. And that doesn't mean that you spend your life with a bad person, but it means that they came to mirror something back to yourself, because everything is projection. Everything we're projecting out onto others of what we see within ourselves, and things that we want to purge or to deal with, to examine, to release, to make better. We have all kinds of little soul connections on this planet and contracts. It's not just with people. It can be with our pets. It can be with some people just love to be outside in nature and to nurture God's creations of all kinds. And so we have to examine ourselves and ask ourselves what moves us, what are our passions. Those are the things that keep us on the path of intention. And as a soul group, we come to serve one another to make sure that happens.
That is cool. You know, you're talking, speaking of furry animals, there was a time in my life where I was, I just really offered my home for people that were displaced. It was a lot of people, but there was just this moment of, and everything was covered, as far as financially. They either were able to, barter back some of their gifts and talents and for, being able to put a roof over their head. And then life shifted, and when my daughter was born, it seems like we're the transit station for a lot of furry animals. We have two right now that found us, that we kind of met, and they were very traumatic. I mean, both of these, one is a kitten and one is a puppy, and when we first got them, they were like almost in shock. And my daughter has this amazing gift, and she probably has a sacred contract for this, that within 24 hours of being around her, they're calm, and they almost like she becomes their mother. And then of course then they let us, the rest of us in the house get near them. But she has this scent, and we've had more animals in 13 years she's been born than I've ever had, I think, even growing up. And it's fascinating to watch because, I could try to do the same things that she does, Kathy. It's not happening. They don't respond to me.
Well, she probably tends to the gods, the little creatures in the spirit, because everything has to be tended to. Everything has to be loved and nurtured. When I say tend, I mean loved and nurtured. And so she is the attraction. You're going to have a lot of that. but she's, she's not going to be able to not be that for them. And what they give to her and what she gives to them, this is a relationship that exists between us and our pets. It's real. And so we are going to have that, and it's only going to be good for our soul. But your daughter, this is probably a part of her life plan and her life's journey, is to have interaction with the animals that come to serve us as individuals, either rather is to feed us, things that we eat, or things that we raise, or things that we just nurture, animals. And so there's all kinds of things that make up the whole of this planet, and it all has to be tended to and nurtured and loved. And so we sign up for that, and it sounds like your daughter has signed up for that, and while she's living with you, you're going to be a part of it as well. but don't be surprised if she doesn't journey off and work with animals during her lifetime and have a lot of contracts with a lot of different animals. And the people that might come with the animals into her life are people that she's contracted with. We all have the common threads. that sew us together and make up one big quilt, you know. And so every little bit, I like to think that when God looks down at us all, he looks out at us all from wherever he looks at, he doesn't see us as individuals. He can, of course, if he wants to, but or she or whatever you want to call God, but what he sees is light. So you're either a bright light or you're a dark light. And we came here to make sure, to make everybody's light shine. And in the process, our light shines. So that when God looks at us, he sees more light than dark. And that in the end, you know, he knows that in the end we'll all be illuminated and just shining examples of mirrored images of him. And so we have to know within ourselves that is who we strive to become, and sometimes it's our little furry animals that bring out that in us. And so that's why they come, or that's why our children come, or that's why, you know, our best friends show up, or our, you know, like we're going to go off next week and talk about the loves of our life, the great passion in the relationships, one-on-one relationships of spouses or partners in our life. And some contracts are very, very serious and very, very personal. And I believe that those are very serious contracts between one-on-one, especially when we're talking about a life mate, or even some souls travel throughout life, always incarnating together, soulmates, so to speak, or twin souls. And this is a contract that goes deeper than other contracts, probably the greatest contract we can have, and even more than with our children. And so, you know, we came here to be all that we could be. We planned this out before we came, and I think it just makes more sense to show up for that commitment than to run from it.
And now, you were talking about dark light. Like, mm-hmm. Would this be a soul that decided to do, like, what we're saying, mass murdering, or something really, I mean, unenlightened at all? I mean, either,
yes.
You know, just like the crimes of passion or the destruction or the Unabombers or, you know, the people that want to blow themselves up on planes. Are those the what you would consider a point dark light?
Yes, and there are people that don't do anything like that. They just are just never smile, never love. They're just so selfish. They're only into ego. They came here for them and them alone, and they're going to serve them and them alone. And so, I don't think in God's universe that one thing is worse than the other. There's either light or there's darkness. There's either love or a call for love. It's one way or the other. And so, there's people stuck in the middle, but you're always just one choice away from turning that light on within yourself and nourishing that goodness and that love within yourself, so that your cup runneth over and it overflows onto everybody that even glances your way, and so especially the lives we touch. So yes, those souls that are very lost, very destructive, but they're nurtured by the angels, by their guides, and they're just off track, so far off track that you have to have an empathy and a sympathy for them, and pray for them, because we're all going to get to the finish line at the same time, not the same time, but we're all going to get there, and we're going to root for those that are not there yet, and we're going to serve them and help them move along. And so what we can do for souls like that is to pray for them and to ask their souls, you know, to be receptive to good and love, and hope that somewhere in the midst of it all, that there can be a change within them of dark to light. And so I believe that, yes, those are dark souls. I don't believe in hell at all, but I do believe in the higher realms and the lower realms. And the lower realms are the dark realms. And those are where people go that they just can't see the light, or they get a little glimmer of it every once in a while. And so they just serve self. They only serve themselves. They buy into their needs, and unfortunately, they exist. But it also creates duality, which is important for all of our lessons, for us to have. If, like I said earlier, if everything was all bliss all the time, we'd be in the spirit. We wouldn't be incarnating into the earth plane or onto any of the other planes where we our souls visit for enlightenment.
Well, you know, one of the things that we were talking about, you know, I always call the light and shadows. I feel like, you know, people that are sleeping, they, you know, we took the forgetful, the mindless pill and came on the planet and forgot why we're here, you know, to get back to what, you know, one of our purposes. But I know in my life there have been what we were talking about, divine appointments. We may bring this into the next, our next part two about divine appointments. But, I mean, I've had divine appointments where people walked in, and, I mean, I literally felt like I wanted to bow down at their feet, and I didn't know why.
Right.
I mean, it was just
right.
just their presence had such a I can't even describe it. One was it was a soul in a wheelchair that was almost a paraplegic, and yet the energy or the just the presence of this person felt, I was, like, almost humbled. And I very rarely have met people that are so beautiful, and they were shining. And
yeah.
yet, you know, if I had just focused on the appearance, I would have missed something about them that just, you know, two different times that I met them. Another thing, as I was thinking about Hitler and them, is that, you know, if we're looking at soul families and soul things, there were things that woke up, you know. There were things, you know, laws and passions and things were changed as a result of those catastrophic things happening all through history.
Right.
And yet,
right.
at the same time, it seems like it's addicting for the shadow work on this plane for that duality. It seems like there's such an addiction, or it just takes such courage to you know, work with the higher angels of your nature versus the lesser angels. And sometimes when we look around collectively, it feels like, you know, there's still such a like we're babies at this evolutionary process of celebrating peace, you know, like more peace on the planet and more higher consciousness. And I'm just, you know, I just think, gosh, you know, as much as we pray, that's my biggest desire for the planet, because Mother Nature is so non-existent, so non-dual. You know, dualistic. So, if you want to share some of that a little bit, and then I'm going to talk about. There's someone has a question for us, Kathy. They have.
Yeah, let's just go to the question.
Relationship.
Okay. They do what?
They think they have a soul relationship. They're wondering if this particular relationship is meant for a lifetime.
How do they know?
Yeah, like would they? Yeah, how would they know if it's meant for a
lifetime? You go into a relationship, and you feel your way through it. Don't call it that until it's evolved somewhat. You know, some relationships are so evolved karmically that they take up where they left off in your last lifetime, and you know, and it just is, and it's easy, and you know, then you know that kind of a relationship, and you know when, and this is I'm looking at myself here. Okay, this person understands me, gets me, and cherishes me as I am. But sometimes relationships just you have to get your feet wet, and then you get your ankles wet, and you go down to your knees, and you know, before you get your whole self into it, and you know from the feeling of it. There's times when we think, especially if, you know, a one-on-one relationship, if it's a love relationship, a mate relationship, we can get our hopes up, and then we find that that's not what it is. But if it endures the test of time, and it's always powerful in it, and it's returned. If it's not returned, it is not love. It is not pure. And so then we know that that is different. We know that that is sacred, and we know that that is real. My mother and my father had a very sacred relationship. And although my father has been in the spirit for about 16 years now, when my mother speaks of my father, the love in her voice and the love in her eyes, the love continues on. And she dreamed of him the other night. She was telling me about it. And she just was moved to tears. And so that is an eternal sacred relationship. We know the difference. We know the difference within our soul. It isn't something that you seek outside of yourself for the answers to. It's a feeling within yourself. And then if it's returned from that person and it is honored from all levels, then it will withstand. It will be able to use the energy that you came here to expand on that relationship.
Okay,
does that answer?
No, baby, we've got about 14 seconds. Oh. We're going to talk about twin souls type of twin flame contracts, personal next Wednesday at part two. For more information, you can go to tweakingyourvibrations.com. But thank you so much for joining us today. We so appreciate you. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to having you join us next time. Have an awesome day, everybody. Bye-bye.